It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Brian Carruthers, Dean of the School of Education at BJU. The title of his message is Responses to Red Sea Experiences. The text is from Exodus chapter 14.
Take your Bibles this morning and let's go to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I'm sure many of you, as you've grown up through grade school and high school and so on, have sat in Sunday school and maybe Bible class, and you've heard a number of the great Bible stories that are given to us and recorded for us in the Scripture. Maybe Daniel in the lion's den, or David and Goliath, or maybe Jonah and the whale, or the miracles of Christ. And those are great stories, and we think about them, and we reflect upon them and so on, but many times they're just that. They're a story. It's easy to pass over these accounts without giving them much thought, without considering what God may have been doing at that particular time in the lives of the characters that are involved in that particular story. In addition, it may also be difficult sometimes for us to really make application. You know, how does this story apply to me in my life here, year 2007, in what's going on in my life right now? But Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 that these accounts are included in Scripture for our example. They are written for our admonition. And I hope that as you look back at the accounts, especially in the Old Testament, that you will not just refer to them as a story, but it's something that God has preserved for us today to teach us, to challenge us. I came across this humorous account one time. Let me just share it with you. It says, 9-year-old Danny came bursting out of Sunday school like a wild stallion. His eyes were darting in every direction as he tried to locate his parents. Finally, after a quick search, he grabbed his dad by the leg and yelled, "Dad, that story of Moses and all those people crossing the Red Sea, it was great." His father looked down, smiled, and asked the boy to tell him about it. "Well, Dad, the Israelites got out of Egypt, but Pharaoh and his army chased them. So the Jews ran as fast as they could until they got to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army was getting closer and closer. So Moses got out his walkie-talkie and told the Israeli Air Force to bomb the Egyptians. While that was happening, the Israeli Navy built a pontoon bridge so the people could cross over, and they made it." By now, his dad was shocked. He said, "Son, is that the way they really taught you this story?" "Well, no, not exactly," Danny admitted, "but if I told you the way our teacher told it, you'd never believe it." You know, many times we do look at the stories of Scripture, the miracles that God has provided for us, and maybe we don't believe it. But you know, God's Word is true. And the same God that parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel and allowed them to escape the Egyptians that were coming up behind them is the same God that wants to do incredible things for you and I today. So this morning, for the next few moments, I would like us to become Moses. I used to teach a Bible class in the school that I came from in North Carolina. One of the things I would always challenge my students was to get into the sandals of the individuals, the characters that you read about in Scripture. And I'd like you to get in Moses' sandals this morning. And I'd like you to just transport yourself back about 4,000 years to this occasion. And let's look at what was going on. This really happened. Let's look at what was going on at this time. And then at the end, let's make some applications to our own lives. Because God is still in the business of parting the Red Sea. Those Red Sea experiences that we face from time to time. And I wonder, as we begin this morning, what Red Sea experience may you be facing? Maybe it's exams. Maybe it's something from back home. Maybe it's financial issues or problems. But I'm encouraged that the Bible reminds us in Romans 8:28, a verse that all of you have memorized. "For all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." But verse 29 is equally as important, because there we are reminded, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." The purpose for Red Sea experiences in our lives is God wants to use those to conform us, to challenge us, to change us, and to help us to become more like Himself. Your Bibles are open to Exodus chapter 14. In fact, we're going to go back to the latter part of chapter 13 as we begin, as we set up sort of the background, the stage for what is happening. Remember the first 12 chapters or so of the book of Exodus, we see God raising up Moses to go into the land of Egypt to open the way for His children, the children of Israel, to be released from their captivity in the land of Egypt and to begin their travels over the wilderness towards the land of Canaan. And so as we come here to chapter 13, we see that the children of Israel are on their way. They are now heading through the wilderness towards the land of Canaan. And I want you to note a couple of phrases that I think are very important, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 13. It says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go." Notice the next phrase. It says that God led them. Come down to verse 18. It says again, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." How did God lead His people through this wilderness as they are making this trek towards the land of Canaan? Well, if we come over to verses 21 and 22 of chapter 13, we see that. In verse 21, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud." Notice the next phrase, "to lead them the way by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And so the Lord used this pillar of cloud, this fire by night, to lead His people through the wilderness towards the promised land. And then as you come down to chapter 14, I want you to note something very interesting. In verse 2 of chapter 14, the Lord gives instruction to Moses, and notice what He says. He says, "Speak unto the children of Israel," and notice the next three words, "that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea." These statements that I have shared with you this morning are very significant. Why? Because I believe that these statements clearly demonstrate that God had a plan. God was in control with what was going on with His children at this particular time. As He led them through the wilderness, and as He makes this specific turn here in verse 2, which brings them up to the Red Sea, God was totally in control. Why was God doing this? Why was God setting His people up for this particular situation in their lives where they were going to be facing the Red Sea and ultimately having the Egyptians coming up behind them? I think there's two things that we can look at this morning as to why God allowed His people to face this Red Sea experience in their lives. The first thought that comes to my mind is the fact that the children of Israel had been inhabitants of the land of Egypt for a number of generations. And these particular people here that Moses is leading, they had never known anything but the land of Egypt. And the Lord wanted to teach His people at this particular time in their lives that they needed to depend upon Him, not on what they were used to in their previous life in the land of Egypt. You know, many times God allows Red Sea experiences to come into our lives for that particular reason. He wants us to depend upon Him. We, unfortunately, are so used to depending upon our own strength, our own willpower, our parents or people around us to be successful and to get the job done and maybe to pay the bills or whatever the case may be. But God will undoubtedly bring us into circumstances and situations in our lives where we will have no place to turn except up to Him. He is forcing us to have a greater dependence upon Himself. But the second thought that comes to my mind as to why God was bringing the children of Israel to this particular point in their lives was because He was to receive the honor and the glory. If you note in verse 4, of chapter 14, the Lord tells Moses, he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And so it is possible, I believe, that God will allow us to go through difficult times for the purpose of getting our attention. Or maybe it's in the process of refining us so that we will be more useful for His service. I recall Job's response to the Red Sea experiences of his life. And Job recounts in Job 23, verse 10, he says, But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. As we continue to look through this portion of Scripture, in chapter 14, we also note that God is not only setting up the children of Israel and getting them into place, but He's also working in the heart of the king of the Pharaoh of Egypt. As we continue to read in verse 5, it says, And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have you done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And notice the next phrase. It says, And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, besides Pihahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. So in addition to God's leadership in leading the children of Israel to this particular point where they're facing the Red Sea, He is also stirring the heart of Pharaoh, causing him to regret the decision of allowing the children of Israel to leave the land of Egypt. And probably this was because, remember, the children of Israel were the workforce there in the land of Egypt. And all of a sudden, that workforce was gone. And they realized how necessary they had been to the economy of the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh wanted them back. And so he equips his military and he sends them out to go back and to get the Israelites. Let's pause here just for a moment. And let's think about the providential hand of God in all of the circumstances that are coming together here at this particular point in time. Was it an accident that God allowed the children of Israel to take the path that they take through the wilderness, ending up being confronted by the Red Sea? No. We saw very specifically that God led. God told Moses to let them turn their direction. And this is where they ended up there at the Red Sea. This was all part of God's plan. Was it an accident that the Pharaoh and his army chased the Israelites down and trapped them there around the periphery of the Red Sea? Not at all. God had carefully orchestrated this entire situation for the reasons that I have already shared with you. You know, we call such orchestration the providence of God. And we can define providence as the following. This is from Leighton Talbert's book, Not by Chance. He defines providence as God's active involvement and intervention, directly or indirectly, in human affairs. And as you look through the Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you look at your own life, we can see God's hand, how He works in circumstances and situations. We see the hand of God at work. The providence of God, how God orchestrates and brings circumstances and situations together for our good, to refine us, to change us, but ultimately for His honor and for His glory. You know, we must not approach the difficulties in our life with the mindset that things just happen, that God's not aware, that God has lost control, that He looks down out of heaven and says, oh no, what's going on in that person's life? God is very much aware. God is very much in control in our lives. And what He is doing has a purpose. And that purpose is for our good. It is to refine us. It is to change us. But ultimately is to bring glory to Himself. Well, what happens We have the children of Israel now facing this impediment, the Red Sea. We have the Egyptians coming up behind them. And as we pick up the story in verse 10 of chapter 14, it says that when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, there's a very significant statement here in this verse that I want you to get this morning. Notice it says that the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Remember, God was providing leadership to the children of Israel in the form of the pillar of cloud. Where were the Egyptians? The Egyptians were behind them. How is it that the children of Israel were able to see the Egyptians? They had to take their eyes off of God, their leader, and look behind them to see that the children or that the Egyptians were coming up behind them. And when they did, we see their reaction. Notice verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore thou hast dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. When the Israelites took their eyes off of God and looked behind them, they saw the Egyptians. They went into panic mode. Charles Spurgeon wrote a sermon one time entitled Israel at the Red Sea. Notice how he describes the Israelites at this particular juncture. He says, these poor children of Israel had such faint hearts. They no sooner saw the Egyptians than they began to cry out. And when they beheld the Red Sea before them, they murmured against their deliverer, Moses. Spurgeon goes on to say, as he makes application of this, he says, a faint heart is the worst foe a Christian can have. While he keeps his faith firm, while the anchor is fixed deep in the rock, he never need fear the storm. But when the hand of faith is palsied, or the eye of faith is dim, it will go hard with us. You know, I wonder how many times we are just like the Israelites. We face that Red Sea experience in our life, and instead of keeping our eyes focused upon God and His leadership in our lives, and accepting the fact that God is in control, we take our eyes off of God and we focus on the problem. And we panic. Dr. Berg calls unbelief the great disorder of the heart. And that's exactly what it is. It's unbelief. Notice what Dr. Berg says. He says, anxiety is the fear that I will not get what I want or need. It is driven by unbelief and discontent. This is why anxiety is always portrayed in the Bible as a spiritual problem. In essence, when we take our eyes off of God, we focus on the problems that are around us, we are saying, God is not enough for me, I need something more, and I'm afraid I'm not going to get it. So instead of the attitude of faith that the children of Israel should have been exhibiting, remember, they had just seen God deliver them from the land of Egypt. And when they hit their next major issue, the Red Sea, they had forgotten all about what God had already done for them. And so instead of exhibiting an attitude of faith, we see the children of Israel demonstrating fear. And unfortunately, that fear turns very quickly into anger because they lash out at Moses here in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 14. The frightened people reminded Moses that they had told him to leave them alone, but he persisted in challenging Pharaoh. Israel was now in a terrible predicament, and according to the Israelites, Moses was to blame. You see, unbelief has a wonderful way of erasing what God has done previously in our hearts and our lives. We forget about how God has answered prayer in the past. Our focus is now only on the difficulties that we face right now. And it's so easy for us just to take our eyes off of God and to focus on the problem. And then we get frustrated and we fume and we get upset and so on. When God just wants us to trust Him and to keep our eyes upon Him. Well, how does Moses handle the crisis? Remember I told you to put yourself in Moses' sandals? And this is a crisis moment in Moses' life. Remember, Moses is doing what God had asked him to do, to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt towards the promised land. And Moses has now faced the Red Sea with the children of Israel behind him. The children of Israel are not happy with him right now. He's got the Egyptians and their army coming towards him. It would have been very easy for Moses to throw in the towel and say, "I give up. It's not worth it. I don't have to deal with this right now." But instead, we see that Moses demonstrates some very strong spiritual leadership. And he gives four commands to the children of Israel. And this is what I want to leave with you this morning. The four commands that Moses leaves with the children of Israel as they face this Red Sea experience in their life. And we find them in verses 13 and 14 of Exodus chapter 14. And Moses said unto the people, number one, fear ye not. Fear ye not. I'm sure at this point in time, the Israelites probably are thinking, "Moses, you have lost it. Here we are, we're facing the Red Sea. We can't get across the Red Sea. We've got the Egyptians coming behind us. And you're telling us to stand here and to fear not?" Well, that's exactly what Moses is telling them to do. What Moses is encouraging them to do is to remind them that God was much bigger than any problem that they were going to face. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Young people, I don't know what Red Sea experience you may be facing right now, but your God is bigger than that experience, than that difficulty, than that circumstance. God knows all about it. He's very much aware. And He's bigger than the problem that you're facing. So the first challenge that Moses gives the children of Israel, fear ye not. But the second one we see here, continuing in verse 13, was to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, it's all about faith. It's all about trust. Moses was reminding the children of Israel that the same God who had previously opened the way for them to leave the land of Egypt, to begin this trek across the wilderness towards the promised land, was the same God who was able to deal with this impossible situation that they were facing. Impossible in their mind. Psalm 46, verse 10, the psalmist reminds us, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." But you know what? It's very hard for us to be still, isn't it? When we're facing those difficult circumstances and those situations, we feel that we've got to get involved. We've got to solve the problems. No, God wants us to be still. The third thing that Moses reminds the children of Israel in verse 13, he says, "Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall never see them again, no more forever." And then in verse 14, the third one, "The Lord shall fight for you." The Lord shall fight for you. Moses reminds the Israelites that God is the divine warrior, that God is in control, that God will have the victory. And then finally, in verse 14, Moses says, "And ye shall hold your peace." This last commandment, I think, is interesting. What's Moses ultimately telling the children of Israel? Be quiet. Be quiet. Hold your peace. You know, it's very easy when we're facing difficulties to complain, to be frustrated, to gripe. But all that is just an illustration of what's going on in the selfishness of our own heart, isn't it? God wants us to trust Him and just to be quiet as we are facing those difficulties in life. Well, you know the rest of the story. God tells the children of Israel to go forward. Moses puts his rod over the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts. The children of Israel cross to the other side. The Egyptians are destroyed. We see in verses 30 and 31 of Exodus chapter 14, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work. Notice what it says, that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Young people, my prayer this morning as we go into this last week of summer school, and as many of you may be leaving and going home for the rest of the summer, that we will take this story in the Scripture, in the Old Testament, and we will consider how we can practically apply the truths that are found there to our hearts and our lives. That we will claim the victory through Jesus Christ. That He will give us the strength and the courage to face the issues, the difficulties, the circumstances that we may face, knowing that God is on our side. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, God and I are the majority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the truths, the very simple truths that are found in this passage of Scripture. Lord, there's nothing that we're dealing with right now that is taking You by surprise. You're very much aware of what's going on. In fact, the circumstances that we're going through right now are orchestrated through Your love and Your grace towards us. Lord, there's things that You are doing in our hearts to change us and to mold us. Lord, help us not to fight against what You're doing in our lives. Help us to trust You.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Brian Carruthers, Dean of the School of Education at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.